Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. Today we are fortunate once again to have with us the Reverend Dr. Curry Avery, the author of Sacred Intelligence, The Essence of Sacred, Selfish, and Shared Relationships. Dr. Avery holds a PhD from Postgre University and an MDiv from Yale University. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back again.
We're glad to have you here. So in our last segment, we just started to open the door on this idea of church hurt. So why don't you share with our audience today a little bit more about that definition? What do you mean by that?
In the work that I do as a pastologist, which is a licensed psychologist and an ordained minister, I have worked with a number of people in which I've discovered that a part of the issues that are going on with them are some wounds that they have experienced at the hand of being a part of a religious organization, and in particular, the ways that we interpret religious doctrine, as well as the ways that we function within church. So when we spoke the last time, I talked with you all about some of the hurts being related to things like abuse, for instance, or things around guilt and shame that people sometimes feel as a result of not being able to work enough in the church, enough according to other people's definition. Really, when we talk about the wounds of religion, it is any sort of feeling that we have in which we are feeling badly about ourselves and who we are as a result of some religious interaction that we've had. Many people feel badly about themselves. Many people suffer from anxiety and depression and all of those things. That's not related to religion, so I want to be clear about that. But the work that I'm talking about with the wounds of religion is when all of those things are related to how that person engages with their religious community and with their religious beliefs.
And so let's separate that out, because I think very often we have people of faith who are striving to have a relationship with God, and then there is that relationship path with the church itself. And so how do we help people maintain their relationship with God that is good and loving and hold on to that in the face of some of the things that have happened as wounds of the religious institution, organization, or leadership?
That's a really great question. And that is a part of the work that I do with people, because often when I see folks, they've gotten to the point where they're separating, some of them separating from church, but they're angry with God because why did God allow that to happen? In other cases, they've left the church and they've left God. So the work that I do with people is around helping them to understand that it is important for you to have a relationship with the sacred that is exclusive of your relationship with church. And if you understand that you are divinely created and loved unconditionally, and that the Spirit is endowed within you, then you will be careful about what you do to yourself, what you do to other people, and what you allow other people to do to you.
Powerful.
So then if you are in a church in which there is something that does not make you feel worthy or good about yourself, or you know that it just doesn't quite feel right that this thing, whatever it is happening in my life right now, then I need to go within to seek solace and guidance from my relationship with God. Because God is going to tell you when there's not something that's kosher, right? God is going to let you know that there's something wrong with that person rubbing up against you. There's something wrong with that person demanding that you give all of your tithes when you can't pay your bills, but that person is living in their fancy home, driving their fancy car, but yet they're telling you have to continue to give more and more and more. There's something wrong when that person is saying to you, and you're in your sick bed, I need you to get down here to service right now. I don't care that you're not feeling well. I've heard the gamut. There's something wrong when a pastor stops service and calls your spouse and say, get to church, and your spouse comes. There's a little bit too much control going on there. And these are some of the extreme things that I hear, but these are critical things. And so the work that I do is to teach people, tap into your sacred being. What is the divine saying to you? And I think when we're able to do that, some of the stuff that happens in churches, we can say, that's not of God, and I'm not going to be a part of it.
And that's not for me.
It's not for me. But here's what's important for us to realize in doing this healing work. Some people are really tied to their faith communities, and they've been a part of those churches for generations. So to have them to go back and to look at their church in a different way causes a lot of internal turmoil. So the work that I do with people is teaching them that sometimes we have to let go, and that if we let go of things that are not good for us, it leads to greatness in other areas. It doesn't keep us tied down. It doesn't keep us feeling like we can't even move to reach our goals in life. Because God has given all of us a purpose in life to move forward. And if you're in a place where you feel bound, and sometimes that's bounded by religion, you can't fulfill the purpose that you've been here for.
So there's so much to unpack here. Now, we know that when it comes to church hurt, there are clearly some areas where we're absolutely assured this is not right. When we look at issues of child abuse, child sexual abuse in the church. We've heard of this with priests and ministers sexually abusing children. Absolutely incorrect. That's wrong behavior. And we know that generationally that's happened in many faith communities, sexual misconduct. Also, we know in faith communities there has been sexual misconduct in the role of pastors with members. So it could be male pastor with female members of the church, picking women of the church to be the mistress. Mm-hmm. And there's a wife that's right there. We know that having affairs is not a proper thing to do in general, but then in the church, it messes with people emotionally, spiritually, and we can see that there's something terribly wrong there as well. So we'll spend some time unpacking that a little bit more. But then down the road, I want to talk about the things that are not right, but you don't necessarily know it's not right. So you're already in. And so what I mean by that is the heavy workload, the high demands of giving everything, the expectation of a lot of time, the way in which some faith communities are actually cults in disguise. So I want to save that for our next segment. But let's get back in here with the sexual misconduct, physical abuse, economic abuse, sexual abuse. Let's unpack that a little bit more. What happens, for example, to a woman that ends up having an affair with her pastor? How does that affect her beyond a traditional affair, even though that might have its impact?
So that is a really, really great question. And one of the reasons why we end up seeing such engagements with folks, even though they know that it's wrong to do, something internally says, I shouldn't be doing this. But what happens is when you come from a place where you're seeking love and you want love already, and someone is paying attention to you and they're making you feel good about how you look and who you are, and maybe you haven't had that in life, and maybe you have, but it you know, if I tell you you look good, you're going to eat that up, right? And so here this person is.
And ministers are paid to love you.
That's right. And so, but people don't think about what you're saying about paid to love you, right? So what happens is vulnerable people, they give in to that feeling of I feel good. And it goes a little bit deeper than that. For many people, they almost feel like I cannot disobey what this religious authority is telling me. So if they're saying that it's okay, it must really be okay. So one of the things that happens is you have your religious authority who now the ego has gotten in the way, and they think they have this sort of divine power that it's okay for them to do what they're doing. And now the people they're supposed to shepherd, who are vulnerable people who come to them because they need some healing, because they have some things that are going on in their lives, and they catch them at the most vulnerable time. and those people start to develop feelings for them.
Transference,
yes. And so what happens is it then becomes this vicious sort of cycle, and they are wounded even more. But if we go even deeper than that, let me answer your question. What happens to that woman? Let's just say it's a woman. She ends up feeling even worse about herself, even while she's in that relationship. Because 9 times out of 10, there are other people in that church who knows that she is engaged in a relationship with the pastor. They're talking about her behind her back, and we know the names that they would call her. She's not feeling good about herself, no matter how haughty she is when she walks in the church. She knows internally that she is going against what the sacred would have for her. And she begins to think of herself even less than, and may even suffer from some depression and anxiety. These are the things that we don't talk about and see other women experiencing, because we just look on the outside of what's going on. It actually shapes her from reaching her own goals, because she settles for, okay, I'm the pastor's mistress, and that's all I need to do in life.
So clearly that's a woman who has experienced a wound where she needs deep healing,
mm-hmm.
and there's a deep need that's
mm-hmm.
there, and she has been impacted.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to the next segment. We've been talking with the Reverend Dr. Curry Avery, and we'll be back after the break.
Mm-hmm.
Make the world go round. Yeah.
Everywhere I'm turning, nothing seems complete. For the better part of me,
yeah, 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 yeah.
I hang my head from sorrow
so much.
State of humanity.
What's up?
Wearing on my shoulders, yeah. Gotta find strength in me.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Curry Avery and her work to heal sacred wounds. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So share with us your list of things that churches can do to become healthier places to avoid church hurt.
So I wish that we had so much more time than we have here, but one of the things that I want to just say in terms of the list of things that churches can do, it also speaks to why these wounds continue to happen, is I believe that we can start to recognize grooming and wounding behaviors. So people often groom their victims before they ever come to them. They've already started to tell them how pretty they look and how sweet they are. And, you know, you are just so good. You will do anything I ask you to do in the church. You know, you're already, you know, feeding their ego. And so I think it's important for churches to begin to look at that. I know that's custom and tradition. We say those things all the time. But we need to look at the language that we use.
Like women being called doll in church.
Yes, women being called doll and honey and all of these things. So there's a certain grooming that occurs. And I think that we need to look at the patterns, particularly, I can speak for in the Black church, the patterns that we see in churches. We've had some interesting offline conversations in the middle here, but what are some of the things that we do in order to, as you say, flirt with people to get them to do what we want them to do?
And is it leadership or manipulation?
Is it leadership? And it's a powerful question. Another thing I think we need to recognize is that wounded people hurt other folks. And so as leaders of the church, whether that be pastors or if you are an elder or a deacon or whatever it is you are in your church, do your own work, that your psychological work that you need to do. Don't come in and be irritable and angry at folks and snap at them all the time because you have issues of control. Maybe you don't have control at your house, or maybe you don't have it on your job. So you come into church and you take it out on folks. Take a look at what's going on within you to figure out, how do I become a more effective leader? The other thing I think is incumbent upon religious authority. And by that I mean pastors, priests, ministers. It is so important for us to check ourselves at all times to make sure that our egos are not getting in the way and that we are staying in a place of service and doing what we are called to do. Because it feels good when someone says to you, oh, that was a powerful sermon. You know, it feels good when people are giving you positive regard, but just make sure that we never forget our purpose. The other thing that I think is important is that we have to recognize when our religious convictions or our dogma wounds other people. And by that, one of the things that I absolutely hate people to say is, love the sinner, hate the sin. Because there are only certain things that we say that about. And so if we other people, if we put them in this place where you are the other, how does that make them feel loved by God and loved by the church? A few other things that I would say, and this is really a really big one, is that we have to hold people accountable. When you know folks are having affairs in the church, hold them accountable for that. When you know that someone is struggling in the church and you hear people giving them wounding messages, hold them accountable for that. Question your pastor. If you are in a church where you can't question your pastor and the leaders, it's probably not the church for you.
Well, one thing I want to step into, because we know the harshest form of abuse, but I want to lift up just unsafe, unhealthy spaces. Like, how is it that sometimes the demands of church are too much, and that in itself is abusive?
Yeah.
And it opens the door to a person being wounded by being burned out, overused, mm-hmm. and expected mm-hmm. of so many things. So mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. can we sort of check ourselves as leaders? How can we be mindful as people that are the followers to have appropriate boundaries for ourselves so we don't let the system hurt us? Because so many churches have, we've heard of the people, five people with eight jobs, but they're the five people that show up.
That's right.
How do we make that a safer space?
Well, I'll tell you, and it's something as a pastor that I have to catch myself with, because what we do as pastors is we go to the people who we know are going to say yes, because we need help. But it is so important for us then to teach and to instruct, and then to sometimes I have to say to myself, don't ask that person. I have to set a boundary, but then I also have to teach my parishioners how to set a boundary. And I always say to them, it is perfectly fine for you to say no. If you are busy and you can't do it, say no. And I think we don't do enough of that in churches, because we also know if those five people over there are going to do it, even if we don't like the way they do it and we're going to complain about the way they do it, we won't let them do it, right? And so it's
important. And then that's wounding to those five people.
It is. But I think that that's why churches need to have more forums, need to have more workshops where we are teaching people how to set boundaries, where we're letting them know what it looks like when you've crossed a boundary. Because some people don't know, because, look, our traditions are our traditions, and we think this is just a part of the Black church. No, that's a part of the abusive Black church.
And we
or any church. Let me be clear about that.
And we want to be better. So as we draw to a close of this fascinating conversation, how do we help people do better and have more healing, wholesome relationships in the sacred context?
Again, I think one of the ways that we help people to do better is, particularly as leaders, being open to listening, being open to finding out what other ways can we express the love of God in a safe way and in a way that makes that person be the best in who they are. It's going to be from the top down. And what I find is that many pastors are intimidated by the conversation. And we have to be in a place where we're ready to open up and listen to people's needs and be able to do ministry in a new way and say, it's not about me. I mean, it's such a profound question. And it's one that takes a lot of time to unfold and unpack. But I would continue to say, have the conversations and then have the workshops to do the work so that we can open people's eyes to the many ways that wounding occurs. Because I do want to just finish by saying this. We talked about some of the more extraordinary hurts that we see, but there are the subtle ones that we didn't really have a chance to really talk about that we need to engage in conversation about as well.
And we want people to see church as a place of hope and healing and peace, not a place of pain. So if people want an opportunity to work with you more, how do they have that chance?
They have that chance by going to my website at sacredintelligence.com. I have a number of ways that you can reach out, and you can schedule an appointment just to talk with me, a 30-minute conversation with me. I also have an online program of healing the wounds of religion and a few other things. I am open to come out to talk with your churches and your congregations as well, because I'm really on a mission to start a movement to heal the wounds of religion. So I invite them to contact me through my website.
Dr. Curry Avery, we thank you for your work, Healing the Sacred Wounds. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor, because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. volunteer, live united. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. The oil. Oh,
I'm calling on your name. Not Buddha nor Muhammad, but it's Jesus we cry out loud. Father, just forgive us. Hear us when we say, we'll give you, give you, give you everything, our lives and souls today.
Was and is to come. robed in righteousness and mystery. We've only just begun, just begun to see. So I'll come broken through the blood of your Son, and I knew before you, you are holy.
Square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
Lord, I want more. on, lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.